judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a prosecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. For that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Holy wisdom, holy words.
Would any of the children like to come forward for the children's message? Always count on Lexi. Thank you. Have you ever been lost? Yeah, me too. It's a scary feeling, isn't it? To be lost. No? It wasn't scary for you? It was for me. But you know, most parents, when a child is lost and they find them, they forget all about punishing the child because they're so happy to have them back, to have them found safely again. And you know, that's the way God is. God is not about punishing us because we're lost. God is all about looking for us and finding us and is so happy. In fact, the scripture we're going to read today says that God is more happy over one lost that's found than 99 who are already safe. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that you love us so much that you're so happy when you find us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Isn't it nice having a full-strength choir back? It's wonderful. Thank you. Our next reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a light and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Lost. 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 This word does not conjure up good memories or positive feelings in me. It reminds me of the fairy tale of Hansel and Gretel and the terrible feeling they must have felt when they realized all the breadcrumbs had been eaten by the birds and they couldn't find their way home. They were deep in the forest and did not know the way home. They were lost. This word also reminds me of the time I went hiking with my brother in a state park in Arkansas. We took backpacks, a topographical map, and a compass. We plunged into the backcountry, only to realize that we could not find any of the landmarks on the map. We ended up on a ridge with the only way forward being going down a slope that was covered in poison ivy. We headed down the slope and then bathed in a stream at the bottom of the slope, best to get the poison off best way we could. We decided to head back without knowing for sure we could find our way. We felt lost, not a pleasant feeling. Once when I was in seminary, I lost my student ID card. I pulled the plastic case out of my pocket, and the card was gone. My ID card doubled as my meal ticket. So the last place I remembered having it was in the school cafeteria. I retraced my steps, asking everybody I came across if they'd seen the card. It was nowhere to be found. It was really lost. 2 days later, as I was about to arrange for a duplicate, I got an email from a classmate who said her daughter found my student ID as she was walking the dog. I was so relieved. It's safe to say that lost is not one of my favorite words. I strongly dislike the panicky feeling I have when either I'm lost or something I treasure is lost. So how in the world can I say, blessed are the lost? This reminds me of the time Jesus was in the wilderness and came across an old man who said he was looking for his lost son. "What brings you to the desert?" asked Jesus. "I'm looking for my son. I lost him many years ago." "How did you lose him? What happened?" "Well, I had only one son, not by birth, but by heavenly miracle. He had tremendous struggles with temptation. At one point, he even died and came back to life." Jesus couldn't believe it. Could this be his father? "One last question. Are you by chance a carpenter?" Jesus asked. "I am," said the old man. Jesus rushed forward and embraced the old man. "Father, it is I. I've missed you." The old man smiled. "I've missed you too, Pinocchio." I guess we can say God searches for us like Geppetto searched for Pinocchio. Certainly, God is our loving creator. But the love he has for us goes far beyond the love a creator has for his creation. God has compassion for and love for those who are weak, those who are lost, those who need God. Consider Luke 6:20-23. "Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and they exclude you, revile you, defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven.'" Does having no money feel like being blessed? Does having an empty stomach feel like being blessed? Does having the grief associated with crying sound like being blessed? Does being hated feel like being blessed? How can all these conditions make us blessed or happy? One thing all these conditions have in common is a need for God. All these conditions realize their need and are unable to fix the problem on their own. Each person experiencing one of the conditions listed by Jesus is in a position to rely on God. Happy are those who are not in a position to be so self-satisfied that they don't recognize their need for God. This is why the sin of pride is so deadly. Pride says, "I don't need God or anyone else because I can do it myself." Pride says, "I don't need God because I have enough money. I'm rich, not poor." Pride says, "I don't need God because I'm not hungry. And when I am, I can feed myself. I have no need of looking to God for my daily bread." Pride says, "I'm not sad, but when I am, I can comfort myself. I don't need God." Pride says, "Nobody hates me, and if they do, I don't need them or God." In each case, Jesus points out that the needs of those in distress are satisfied by God. The needs are not satisfied by the one in need being righteous enough to earn God's favor, but by recognizing their need and being satisfied by God. Trust in and reliance on God is the key. Notice this also takes away the feeling of guilt. Guilty feelings come from not meeting the expected standards. The power in this message is that God supplies our needs, not us. Therefore, we don't need to measure up. So let's go back to our scripture for today. The first two verses of the scripture tells us who Jesus is speaking to and then sets the stage for the story. Knowing who Jesus is speaking to gives us insight into why Jesus would tell this story. Sinners and tax collectors are coming to listen to Jesus, and Jesus was doing a surprising thing. He was eating with them. Jesus was showing them radical hospitality. It was customary for the righteous to shun those who were unrighteous. Why would this rabbi Jesus consort with the unrighteous? Jesus' actions were noticed by church insiders. Their reaction is interesting. It says they grumbled. Imagine this scene. Jesus is invited to speak at a local church in Lufkin, Texas. The officials of the church arrive to hear what Jesus has to say, and the room is full of street people who are not members of the church. The buffet line opens, and the street people are the first through the line, and they take all the seats near Jesus. Would the organizers of the event be likely to grumble? Perhaps the scribes and Pharisees in this scripture are present to observe and listen to Jesus as well, and yet he's not showing them any deference. In fact, it seems that Jesus is showing the sinners greater attention than the religious elite. When Jesus senses the dissatisfaction of the organizers, he tells a story that involves a shepherd leaving the sheep who are safely with him in search of one who is lost. Perhaps this story would give the Pharisees some comfort because Jesus is counting them among the sheep who are already safe. However, Jesus takes the story one step further. When the lost sheep is found, the shepherd rejoices and calls his friends together to rejoice as well. Why does Jesus add the part about the friends? Perhaps Jesus is telling the Pharisees that they ought to be happy too, if they're Christ's friends. Christ's friends should be happy that he is able to help those in need. Jesus then interprets the story with the statement that there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 who don't need to repent. Jesus then tells a very similar story. This time the seeker is a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. This story does not mention the 9 coins left behind. The woman sweeps and looks carefully for the lost coin. She likewise calls together friends and neighbors to rejoice with her in the finding. Jesus likewise interprets by saying there is joy in heaven over the one who is found. First, I'd like to point out that Jesus uses both male and female characters in the stories to represent the searching love of God. Shepherds were invariably male. The widow was a female. Both represent the searching love of God. Secondly, we should notice Jesus' emphasis that those who are in need deserve special attention. Not because they earned anything, but because God loves them. But the third point is my main point today. Today's lesson effectively adds another beatitude. Blessed are the lost. The lost are another category of need met by God. Every Sunday we come together and confess our sins as a community. We do this to remind ourselves that we cannot earn God's favor. Forgiveness is a free gift from God who searches us out. Even before we know that we're lost. The sheep does not find the shepherd. The coin does not find the woman. God, who loves us, finds us, whether we know we're lost or not. If we think we have found God and we've become self-satisfied, we're like the Pharisees who question Jesus' time with sinners. When we recognize that we too are sinners who are found by God, we can truly sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Let us pray. Lord, make us aware of how lost we are, that we might rely on your strength and not on our own self-satisfaction. Help us to know the love that you have for each of us and the joy that comes from being found by you. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed printed in your bulletin. What do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 518, Your Only Son.
You have sent him from your side.
Please be seated. There's only one Lord and God, from whom all things come and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our gifts to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. We praise you and thank you, Lord God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
We're going to use that as our intro to the prayers of the people each time, and everybody's invited to sing prayerfully those words. Let us pray. Rejoicing in